2%.
The 2%'s right over here.
Oh, hey, Jenna. I didn't know you shopped here.
Yeah. Anything to support local food. Know what I mean?
I definitely do. Though that's not the only thing you do in the name of Good Eats, obviously.
Well, true. I also host Eating Matters every Wednesday at 5 p.m., where we talk about food policy and how it impacts all of us. Be sure to tune in.
All right, gotta get the plug in there. I get it.
Yep, I'm hashtag shameless.
You know what else you can do to support the local food community, right?
Well, yeah. Make a donation to Heritage Radio Network, the world's pioneer food radio station.
That's right. And I gotta call you out on the whole local thing.
What do you mean?
Well, The Farm Report, A Taste of the Past, Japan Eats. Those are shows that take you around the country and the world.
I'll give you that. So how can listeners give their support?
It's pretty easy. Just go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the big red heart in the top right corner. It's pretty easy from there.
Thanks.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit korin.com. Today's program was brought to you by MTC Kitchen, Mutual Trading Company's restaurant supply store. For more information, visit mtckitchen.com.
This is Michael Harlan Turkel, host of The Food Scene. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, a food writer and a director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from our studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I will try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Keiko Kitazawa Koch, who is a Japanese tea ceremony instructor based in New Jersey, and she has been teaching tea ceremony to over 500 people a year since 2009 in Tri-State area. We'll talk about what exactly tea ceremony is, how Keiko got into it, how to be a good guest at the tea ceremony, and more. Hello, Keiko. Welcome to Japan Eats.
Hi.
So I heard that before you became a tea ceremony instructor, you worked as an interior designer. So tell us about your background.
Sure. I was born in Nara, an ancient capital of Japan. I studied design at Osaka University of Arts. And after graduation, worked for an interior design firm in Tokyo for 5 years.
So, and then you came to New York for
study art.
Right, just the excitement. You didn't stay in Japan, so the excitement of New York?
Or? Yes, sure.
Okay. And how did you get into tea ceremony?
Well, I started first round tea ceremony when I was 9 years old. My mother insisted on it, as I recall. Initially, I studied with Mushanokoji Senke.
Which is one of the schools of
yes,
tea
yeah,
ceremony.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And now I'm an instructor of Omote Senke. And about 5 years in my younger age. And I stopped going when I went to the middle school.
So you're busy doing something else. So
yes, actually I was the basketball player.
Oh, wow. That sounds like the opposite.
Yes, yes, wow. Yeah.
Okay. And then, but you got into art, design, kind of, some visually beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. So there must be something in common between tea ceremony and so.
Yeah. Let's go back to my younger age tea ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to my teacher's house, it's always tidiness and cleanness of my teacher's home,
mm-hmm.
and complete with seed and flowers and scent of the incense.
Right.
Yeah, and the tea room was always very serene with only the sound of the boiling water.
Mm.
And of course, the sweets are very delicious for my younger age.
Right.
And the teacher was very kind, and then I really loved that environment.
Mm.
And I think I was very fortunate to have experienced the very essence of tea ceremony at such a young age.
Mm. So the listeners who don't know anything about this tea ceremony, you know, if you go to a tea ceremony room, usually there's a very beautiful seasonal flower and the, you know, calligraphy and, of course, tatami mat and the quiet. And you can even smell the wood, you know, the walls or something very...
very different world from everyday life.
Mm. Yeah. So it's kind of like a sacred little space. Just cut off from all those noisy, busy life.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when I really get into the tea ceremony was my early 30s. I had another fortune to resume my tea ceremony running with Omotesenke School, where I met the Omotesenke tea master, Akira Ozasa Sosho, who inspired me to immerse myself in the deep world of the tea ceremony.
Mm. We're going to touch on that different schools there, but you are converted to something else, right, basically.
Yes, And he taught me what it means to practice tea ceremony, what the way of tea is a way of a human being, that he taught me.
Wow.
Yes.
So what does it mean?
Oh, that's a very deep meaning and very wide.
Right. So basically, because tea ceremony is such a focused act, like you make tea for your guests, right? But you have to really make it very careful to make it the moment perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I think the essence of austerity of tea ceremony. Mm. Right. Okay. So... let's talk about what tea ceremony is, just because I think many of our listeners don't know. And it's even for Japanese people. It's the, what is that? I cannot define it.
Yeah, it is difficult to tell. But I can say that there are two things. Tea ceremony is a meeting of the mind of host and guest through enjoyment of delicious tea together.
Mm.
And it is also a process through which we can elevate myself.
Mm, okay. So first, you know, if you go to this tea room called Chashitsu, and then there is a host waiting for you, and then we're going to talk about details later, but the host is really carefully prepared for the guest to make the special tea, and then it's very quiet, right?
Yes.
It's not like, conversational thing, but you have a beautiful way to make tea, you know, the way you move fingers, the way you stand up, sit down, and of course outfit, kimono.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, to me, very theatrical experience.
Yeah. Yes.
So, okay, and then you said it's the process through which you can elevate yourself. So
yes.
Right, self-improvement. So what do you mean by that?
The one thing, one feeling is more than 100 times listening. So I can say if you go to the formal tea ceremony, which is the chaji, it's really, you can understand what I'm talking about.
Okay, so so let's talk about chaji. But, chaji is the most formal thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can be just have a more casual, just tea. But chaji has... includes meals?
Right. Chaji is a formal tea party where kaiseki course meal is followed by koicha service. And chaji could be organized around both seasonal theme and the consideration of the time of the day when it take place.
Right.
It could be also take a theme from any special occasion.
So the key is the seasonal.
Yes, seasonal and time and who you want to invite.
Right. So time means morning, afternoon, evening. And that means the moment, like early in the summer morning.
Right.
That's a very special, refreshing time. And maybe warm evening in the winter. Mm-hmm. That's another different kind of experience.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, for example, in November, when the jar containing the tea leaves harvested mm-hmm. that year is opened for the first time. Mm-hmm. And the host might entertain the guest by serving a kaiseki cuisine meal at around noon and serving the fresh new tea. Mm-hmm. This is a November's occasion, special okay. event.
Right. And of course, kaiseki is full of seasonal food.
Yeah, we are very full of seasonal, yes. Right. And in the summertime that you talk about in the early morning, mm-hmm. because it must be before it gets really hot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The Japanese summer is very hot.
Right.
Humid,
yeah. So it means it starts from 6 a.m. and then ended 10 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it means your host have to prepare the whole night.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I think there's, I think you told me before that there is one really early. It started from 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, yeah. This most memorable, the chaji I recently hosted, was held a very cold winter morning. And then, yeah, started 3 a.m.
So, what's the reason that you started so early?
Well, we can enjoy the time and the day and also rights. Changes.
Mm. Ah, okay.
Yeah. The ceremony began with candlelight.
Ah.
But as the time passed, the scene gradually turns brighter as the sun rises. Yeah, and also the silence really in the morning is very quiet.
Right. And so then, the dawn and then there is a bird singing, there's no
yes,
car.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. We can only disturb the the sound of birds outside and then the water boiling in the kettle in the tea room.
Oh, wow.
This year, this beautiful moment with my very close friends was really, really beautiful experience.
Mm. Well, you have to have close friends who can join you at 3 o'clock in the morning. Right. So, and of course, matcha has a good amount of caffeine. Mm-hmm. So you start the day really
exactly.
beautifully, nicely.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And where did you have it?
At home, my house.
Oh, okay.
At my home.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's another thing that, for formal tea ceremony, mm-hmm. you tend to have, the small special guest tea ceremony tend to have at your house, right?
Yeah. It's better to have the my house because the host can show the host's lifetime to the guest.
Mm. Yes. So it's really sharing your life with your guest.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. And then you have, you say preparation.
Right, preparation. So, and then also very important who you want to invite that I previously told me. The host must decide on the theme and principal guest of the occasion or tea ceremony.
Mm. So theme, for example, summer morning, like the seasonal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the guest must be chosen carefully because we all together hours and hours in a very small space.
Mm.
So guest must be, close friend.
Right. So
yeah.
You cannot hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And also sharing, understanding some sort of, because a tea ceremony to me is so sacred and quiet. And the whole attention goes to host movement, right? So you have to appreciate the kind of silence and the subtleness.
Right, yeah. The theme of the tea ceremony have to be selection and combine of utensil, the kaiseki meal and sweets, other elements of the event.
Right.
They are in harmony and tell a story.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes revealing hidden sub-theme. For example, the calligraphy on the wall might point to the main theme, but the end of the tea ceremony, we show some utensil, including a tea scoop, and the tea scoop has a poetic name, could be a sub-theme.
Ah, okay. So, listeners who are not familiar with the tea ceremony, again, it's like that each piece of utensils that has very artistic shape and traditional meaning.
And sometimes poetic name.
Right. Wow. Okay. So it's really the more you learn, the more you can find different things. It's almost like getting used to watching theater acts. in a way.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And
so preparation is really hard, mm-hmm. and sometimes the whole night. And we can say the host gets 70% mm-hmm. of the enjoyment, and then guests get 30%.
Because the preparation is fun.
Yeah, planning. Right, yeah. Right.
So exactly. You mean preparation, meaning choosing which utensils.
Yeah.
And what kind of theme mm-hmm. and the flowers.
Right.
Everything. Mm. Mm. Like a party.
Right, yeah.
Right. Okay, so the tea ceremony is just not just a... drinking tea mm-hmm. In a formal setting, but it's really a production of a great party. Mm-hmm. It may not be noisy, but it's like a silent.
Right, but we can have a lot of conversation mm-hmm. During chaji. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. It's not only silent mm. because we have to enjoy with talking about the utensil, talking mm-hmm. about the season, talking mm-hmm. about some beauty stuff.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. So what is the purpose, or in other words, the essence of tea ceremony?
Well, that is a difficult question.
That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. That I can say why I started the tea ceremony or why I get into the tea ceremony. Mm. Taking time out of a busy day. Mm. And sitting in tea room, emptying my mind of thought, listening to the sound of water boiling in the kettle, and drinking bowl of tea is such an exquisite pleasure.
Mm. It's almost meditative.
Yeah, I can say that. Mm. Okay. Because we can't think about anything.
So you just focus on making good tea and the five senses, smelling,
mm-hmm. right,
and mm. hearing,
right.
Okay, and so that's the mindfulness. Mm-hmm. That's the meditative mind.
Yeah.
So it's always associated with tea ceremony. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you practice tea ceremony, mm-hmm. then you can exceed in meditation in a way at mm-hmm. the same time.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Exactly. Mm.
Okay, well, the full disclosure, I had an experience. I have a rustic mm-hmm. license of mm-hmm. Urasenke School, mm-hmm. and that was when I was a high school student. So it was really, I didn't have that deep learning. I really learned the formats, how to remember the orders and mm-hmm. things like that, but I don't think I got into that spiritual, meditative level.
But you can still remember the scene of the environment, what's beauty mm-hmm. and the quiet.
Right. Mm. Yeah, that was so surprising. I think that's why I kept doing it. Mm. Right. But I don't think I remember any orders or any...
You don't have to.
Okay. So what is the history about tea ceremony?
Okay. Tea was brought from China in the 9th century. Mm-hmm. And the end of the 12th century, tea was used like a medicine. Mm. Then gradually, the custom of drinking tea as a luxury item became widespread. Mm. Then in the 15th century, imported goods, like tea goods, mm-hmm. from China mm-hmm. as well, were used as ornaments in living rooms. And as tea utensil for tea ceremony.
Mm. Right. Almost like artwork.
Right. Mm. Then 16th century, Senrikyu gave tea ceremony its final form.
Right. So listeners, the name, Senrikyu.
Yeah, finally. He showed up.
Right. He's the guy.
He's a master.
Yeah, if you say tea ceremony, yeah, Senrikyu, that's mm-hmm. that should be the name that you know.
Right.
Right.
So my school, Omotesenke style, has over 400 years of history. Mm. This tradition is not just the inheritance of the form, but it's adapted to each period.
Okay.
So it is a living culture that has been handed down.
Interesting. Yeah. So yes. Like 600 years ago, they have different formats.
I don't know about 600 years ago.
But
yeah. But we have a, we have a carrying 400 history. Mm. But cannot be just the history. Mm-hmm. It's have to be alive.
Right.
Yeah, match to the modern life.
Mm.
Then we can transfer to next generation.
Right.
Yeah, which is like a the history is like a on the line, and then line is continuous in the future forever.
Interesting. Mm. Okay. So by the way, the listeners, the Senryukyu, he was a very school person. He was so into preserving the tea, you know, the rusticity of tea and simplicity. And so the big shogun tried to make tea in his own way. And he said no. And eventually he has to kill himself by the order of the shogun. So it's like the saint of the tea, that Senryukyu.
Right.
Anyway, so what is special about Japanese tea ceremony for you? So, like, has anything changed since you started practicing tea ceremony?
Yes.
Okay.
Tea ceremony for me has been a part of my life, giving me a spiritual richness and pleasure. And it's often said that when I practice tea ceremony, you are rewarded with 10 positive changes.
Mm.
In my case, number one, meeting new people.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, making friends with people from different background.
Because the tea is the connecting point.
Yeah.
So whoever is interested in tea.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And number three, inspired to curious and learn about various topics. Like flower, food, sweets,
right.
Architecture, and calligraphy, and clothes, kimono, everything.
Right. Yeah. So that's the production part that you're planning. Right. So you have to be knowledgeable about different things and get curious about
that's very, very, very fun.
Right.
Yeah. And number four, minding more about how I look and how I behave.
Right. Because
I'm teaching to the student, you have to be very nice, very beautifully. Mm-hmm. So I have to be like that.
Right. The whole attention goes to you.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Right. But I wish listeners can see Keiko because she's beautifully dressed in kimono and her posture is amazing. And yeah, so I think, well, I'm sure it was even before the tea ceremony, but it's very impressive. So, okay.
And then number five. Keeping my house tidy, which is, I was very cleanest and I can organize very well because I was interior designer.
Right.
But however, since I started or deep into the tea ceremony, I do much more than used to be.
Because you invite guests and...
not only like that, the tea utensil have to be somewhere it's supposed to be.
Okay.
Yeah, so all this I have to organize.
So
it became just a part of me.
Right, sounds like you're creating a galley space for your tea
utensils. Yeah, I can say that.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So whoever want to do organize well, they should run the Japanese tea ceremony.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. And you know the book, famous book?
Yes, I know that these days Japanese organize a house or...
Yeah, Marie Kondo, famous book, if you just how to clean up your house,
right,
organize.
Right, yeah.
So that's another way.
It's better than that.
So, tea ceremony, that's the way.
Yeah. And then number six, being self-confident. I can say, I can teach and I can tell about the tea ceremony some. So like, here is America, not Japan. So.
Right.
Japanese, as Japanese, is my identity. So I'm so happy to tell about the Japanese culture to the American.
Right.
And number seven, became comfortable talking about the length about the Japanese culture, which is the same as number six.
Mm-hmm.
And number eight, found something that I can pursue for life. So I can continue to learn anything until I
decide not to.
Right.
Because it's there's no perfection. You have to keep practicing tea ceremony.
Exactly.
And it's so spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And also, people think the tea producer is very complicated.
Mm.
But actually, it is fun to find the fun in the running different procedure for tea ceremony.
Mm.
So it's fun.
Okay.
And then number 10, learning to entertain people at the chaji, the ultimate of tea ceremony, which is super my favorite.
Mm. Okay. Wow. So sounds like there's so many things, mm-hmm. and everybody can get the 10 benefits, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, each people has a different, but more than 10 more. Maybe.
Wow, I'm determined. I have to relearn this ceremony. Right. Okay, and so, you know, we talked about different schools of tea ceremony. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can just quickly go through different kinds of tea ceremony schools.
Yes, this is among frequently asked question. Whenever I go to the tea demonstration or tea lecture.
Mm.
And my tea master once told me that the differences are only issue, consequences, and that is because all share and driving spirit of tea, so it's nothing important. Mm. It's different.
Right.
So I would offer the same answer.
Mm. Okay, so yeah, the Maya seasonality and the moment that you share with your guest, and then that's the spirit meditative attitude. Mm-hmm. And I heard that, you know, I studied Omotesenke, and you are the master of Omotesenke, and there's the one you mentioned at the beginning, you had Musha no Koji. So I think these are the three main schools, right? And I heard so the Urasenke, for instance, they have like the movement is more punctuated, and the Omotesenke is more natural flow. And people just say whatever, but that's what I heard.
It could be. I don't know. I don't know about other schools. So,
okay, right. But the essence is
but
the same.
Essence, yeah.
Right. Mm. Okay. So I think I'll take a quick break here. So when I come back, we'll talk about how to become a good guest at the tea ceremony. So please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Korin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. Their knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American, and that is why they're located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Korin's unique store in Lower Manhattan is home to perhaps the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan, plus the rarest natural sharpening stones and exquisitely designed tableware. They also host special events such as knife sharpening demonstrations and parties with New York's most famous chefs and restaurateurs. Korin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the implicit and elegance of Japanese culture to your table, be it in your home or in the finest restaurant. For more information, visit korin.com. Today's program was brought to you by MTC Kitchen. MTC Kitchen is run by New York Mutual Trading, a premier specialist for wholesale Japanese food and restaurant supplies since 1926. They are a one-stop shop for all your Japanese culinary needs. They have a range of quality Japanese knives, sharpening stones, kitchenware, tableware, and shelf-stable food, and are conveniently located in Midtown Manhattan near Grand Central Station. Although they specialize in wholesale distribution, this venue is open to the public, and they showcase artisan tableware that is only available at the showroom. For more information, visit mtckitchen.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from our studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Keiko Kitazawa Koch, who is a Japanese tea ceremony instructor based in New Jersey. So, let's see. So there are some essential philosophies behind tea ceremony. So I think the most important thing is wabi-sabi. And we actually discussed on this show with Stephen Globus, who hosts a space for your teaching practice in Manhattan at Globus Washitsu, right? And this wabi-sabi is it's a very elusive concept. So I just wanted to ask you how you define wabi-sabi.
Oh, that is a question not so easy to answer, even in Japanese. So I learned, I studied.
Okay.
This comes as somehow the lonely condition or the taste of the egg and simplicity, which is a denial of coloration, has been developed as an aesthetic, which is perhaps unique to Japanese culture.
Mm.
The word wabi, derived from the verb wabu, meaning dejection, bitterness, being reduced to poverty. And the sabi is derived from the verb sabu, meaning to get old, to be discarded. The words were given a positive value and adapted in the world words of tea ceremony and haiku, and as terms used to express beauty.
Mm.
This is where Japan's unique aesthetic scene and attitude toward culture lie. It's difficult.
Right. So basically, you know, poverty or, you know, the getting old, like rustic.
Mm.
So these are, in Western society, they are regarded as negative.
Mm.
But in Japanese tea ceremony culture, it's a beauty.
Yeah, we found the beauty in the getting old or missing something.
Right. I think the essence is, you know, the naturally, as it gets older, the wilting reveals itself. So, and in a very quiet setting of tea ceremony, we appreciate that rusticity.
Yeah, that Rikyu loved this wabi-sabi.
So Senno Rikyu, he's the guy who kind of established...
It's kind of, yeah.
Right, established this value of... Right, so... Yeah, things getting older, and then you don't have to throw it out. Maybe you should take a look, and then there's something
exactly.
beauty in it. Right. Okay. And, I have so many questions for you. So I let's talk about what happens when you attend a tea ceremony. So, you know, we know that now there's a little nice tea, small tea room, that's jashitsu. And, you know, you go into the room, and... sit down quietly, and what happens?
Well, I can just say that enjoy the company of the host and the other guests.
Right. Okay. So then you sit down, and then usually I think the sweet is served first.
Yes, sweet served first. Yes, exactly.
And then you drink tea, and then you appreciate, you know, the bowls that the tea is served in. So is that the basic flow?
Yeah, just drink, just eat. There is a sweet and drink delicious tea and enjoy utensil.
Right.
Yeah, enjoy environment. That's it.
So that's what you can expect, listeners. It's like drink,
but,
and appreciate.
Right.
Right. Okay.
However, you can maybe know about maybe three basic things.
To be a good guest
at
the tea ceremony. Okay.
Yeah, number one, this is important. Wear a pair of clean socks.
Oh, yes, definitely, because you have to take off your shoes.
Right, but if I don't tell, they don't really have a clean pair of socks, of course. So it's, you know, so because tea room is always very clean and purified. And tea utensils are placed directly on the tatami mats.
Right.
So you need to keep them clean by not sweating them by unclean socks.
And again, it's a small room for hours. And if you have a stinky sock, you're going to be in trouble. So
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And if you are in doubt, if you don't know how to do it, so just follow the person to you next to you and then do exactly as she or he does.
Assuming that person knows.
I hope so.
Right. But I think the host, actually that's the,
yeah,
the role of the host.
Care. Yes.
Right? To choose the right person.
Right. And then just so I can say, don't worry about.
Mm.
And most importantly, be this respect to host and other guests. Keeps these three in your mind, and I'm sure you will enjoy the occasion.
So the third one, respect other guests, meaning regardless how much you know, you don't know, just try to enjoy the time together. Okay. And the tea ceremony can be from, you know, maybe 3 people to 50 people, depending on the occasion.
Right. Yeah. So there's many different kinds of tea ceremony. Like, for example, the large-scale tea gathering. This is a simplest kind of tea gathering with only thin tea served. It is typically open to the public.
So no sweets, no food.
No food, but it's sweet.
Sweets are
served.
Always
there. Yes. There could be like 50 people at the same time in large tea room.
Okay.
And then this tea gathering is held all over country in shrine or temples in Japan.
Ah, okay. Right. Yeah, I think I've been to one of those in, I think it was in Kyoto. And it's really casual. And then young and old, men and women, people really enjoy and mix and they appreciate, you know, the tea ceremony spirit. Right.
Okay. And also there is a small-scale tea gathering, very private gathering, take place everywhere, enjoyed according to the circumstances by small number of, like, who love the tea ceremony. It's maybe member of the same school of tea who get together. And the third one, I just talk about the chaji, which is a formal tea event.
So that's the followed by the tea, the sweet tea, and followed by a kaiseki meal.
Exactly.
So it's much more serious.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
So actually, the use of matcha. Of course, for listeners who are not familiar with matcha, matcha is a finely ground powder of special tea that was grown in shade for the last few weeks before harvest, versus regular green tea, which is in glowing full sunlight. So it's very delicate and precious, and then a little more expensive too, and also highly nutritious too. So, and I heard that there are two kinds of tea that are served at the tea ceremony. So one is kuicha and the other one is usucha. So what is the difference between the two?
Thin tea is of course thin, only the one
that's usucha.
Right, it's called usucha. And kuicha is of course thick. And the kuicha is the 3 scoops per person.
Of matcha?
Yeah, of the matcha.
It's not liquid anymore.
It's very pasty. Like more than smoothie.
Right. And that one is served at more serious tea ceremony, not for everybody, correct?
Right, exactly, yeah. And then in the very serious moment in the chaji, the most important time is served kuicha. And the thin tea is in the more casual occasion. And then usually end of the chaji, we serve the thin tea. And then we can talk and then we can enjoy the conversation with the thin tea. So it means more casual.
Right. Because if it's pasty, you have to really have some skills to how to
drink
exactly.
it. Right, exactly. And then and hot water have to be very hot.
Right. Okay. And the other thing is sweets. You know, the goods called the wagashi. So wagashi basically is a little different kind of sweets compared to Western food. So what is wagashi and why do you serve wagashi with the green tea?
The wagashi is a sweet, of course, and get to eat wagashi in a little before the tea served. So guests enjoy the harmony between sweetness and bitterness. This is our purpose.
Right, coffee and cake, the same
idea. Exactly. And the wagashi, the traditional Japanese confections that are often served with tea, just I told you, and then especially the type made of mochi and
rice cake.
Anko, it's called anko. It's a red or a white bean paste. And sometimes dry fruits.
Right. So that's very classic. Anko is like one of those most typical mm-hmm. wagashi
right.
ingredients. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And I heard that you make all sweets by yourself for your tea ceremony sessions.
Yes.
So, yeah. Isn't it hard? Because I saw one of your Facebook posting, and mm-hmm. then I saw a picture of a blue cave, mm-hmm. and it's Aonodokutsu in Japanese, and it was stunning, really beautiful. It's like Grotto Azzurra, that kind of like Italian ocean. It's stunning. So,
oh, thank you.
Hey, so
I do. I make so many. Mm-hmm. Because each tea class, I make my own. Mm. And
is that something you learned?
No, just from maybe cookpad. And then it is actually difficult, but I don't make too difficult one. But I'm trying to develop myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have to post that the specific wagashi picture because I was so impressed that you made.
Oh yeah, because usually wagashi has a poetic name. Mm. And it express a season, and
right.
also could be a part of the theme of the event or tea ceremony.
Right, and so also seasonal.
Very seasonal too. And has a story, even very small, it has a story.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, by the way, where do you teach tea ceremony?
I teach at four different venues, two in Manhattan, Globus Tea House at 19th Street and Broadway.
Mm-hmm. So that's Stephen Globus.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a very nice place.
Right.
And also another one is the Tenley Cultural Institute at 13th Street and 6th Avenue. And one in Brooklyn, J. Collabo, at Park Slope.
Okay.
It is in the like loft building.
Mm. So where can we find the information of your classes?
My blog.
Okay.
Or Facebook.
Okay.
And the last one is at my home in New Jersey.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. So, for venues, so your blog address is...
I can't remember.
Okay, I'll look up and then post on the page.
Murasaki Tea something.
Okay, something. So, we'll post it.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Mm. And so you teach tea ceremony to children.
Yes.
Too, right?
In the beginning, you said teaching to 500, it's not really correct.
Oh, yes.
That's okay. But I served tea to 500 people in a year.
Okay.
And mostly children.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Starting from kindergarten to high school.
Wow.
And actually in college students, too.
Mm. But what's their reaction to such a young age? And you know, it could be a little complicated process for them.
Even when I serve like a 6-year-old boy and the girls, they can sit on the, they can have seat in tea ceremony in little while, very quiet.
Wow.
And then they love sweets and tea. Even tea is a little bit bitter, but they can drink.
Right. Mm. So maybe it's a result of a spiritual, the quietness, meditative effect. And children can really learn.
Yeah, they understand. They are pleased to experience the world detached from their everyday life.
Mm. So maybe it's not a bad idea to, you know, teach
to a lot of... Yeah, younger age. Mm-hmm. And if they can remember, like me, when I had the first tea experience, 9 years old.
Right.
So they can, maybe they can keep in somewhere in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they got to grow up,
right.
Probably they want to maybe learn more deeply, which is I really hope.
Right. So plant some seeds and then spiritually.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Mm. Okay. And then what about, you know, the adults? Like, what's the biggest challenges in teaching tea ceremony to New Yorkers?
To New York, yes. to make people understand how important it is continue practicing. Because practice makes perfect.
Mm.
So repeated practice of basic unit of movement
is
sometimes boring.
Mm.
Boring not for me, but it's very, very important.
Right. Isn't it like, you know, once you pass some level, you feel suddenly you find it interesting.
Yes, yeah. So about, I can say about a year, if they come to like a two or three times per month, so they will be more comfortable to do the follow the form. And then, and then they can, you know, read themselves appreciation of the tradition and the spirit of tea ceremony.
Right.
Yeah, but they have to start learning form first.
Right. It's almost like
all Japanese, you know, the classes, like karate, they have to learn the kata, which is form first.
Right.
And then calligraphy, which is shuji, they have to copy from the teacher or...
Right. So I think those, you know, martial arts to Japanese traditional or any, I think even maybe any traditional or established sports, once you come to into your life for a certain amount of time, it becomes a part of your movement. So because they're not asking you something unnatural, right? So tea ceremony, I heard a movement. Once you get it, you realize, oh, wow, that's such a natural movement.
Yeah, it is very natural. And looks like complicated, but it is not. This is very most simple way to produce a procedure to make tea.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. So, all right. I wish we had more time, but well, thank you for joining us today, Keiko.
Thank you so much.
So, I look forward to seeing you at your classes to brush up my rustic techniques. All right. So, listeners, I will post Keiko's blog address later on the show page. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, please contact us at heritageradionetwork.org. And Japan Eats is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays, always available at heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, and Stitcher podcasts. Today's show was made possible by Ito En, and my engineer is David Tadasiore. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.